Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Monday night, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about time and how the time that we live in affects our possibility of relationship with God. We've talked about different ages, and we've talked about how within each one of those ages, there have been those that have reached beyond what their age restrictions were. The way God says, okay, this is, you know, if you will be my people, I will be your God. And yet some went beyond that. So we know that the way, the desire God has to know us supersedes his restrictions. We don't want to spend too much time going off track. Maybe we will at some point in time. But the whole point of spending so much time on time is to realize and recognize that time is something for us to learn to rule and reign over. That we are the master. Time is a created element. It is not something that we bow to unless we believe it to be something we bow to. So we, part of our process here on this earth is to learn to rule and reign over time. We've talked about the age of grace and the age of law and how we're living in a time where those two overlap. Yet there's an age to come. Now, we don't really have any idea what it's going to be, except we can project that based on the way previous time frames have built one upon the other, what God has for us next will have some elements that are familiar to us, but put together in a way that stretches us beyond where we are now. I think pretty much we can say that odds are whatever he has for us next, it's not what we think. Whatever it is you think comes next, it's probably not that. And in one respect, we'll just have to wait and find out. The point being that we don't want to be focusing on preparing for something based on what we think is going to happen. This is where trust comes in. This is why it's so important that we know how much God loves us. Not just theoretically, but personally. Because as we learn to trust him and learn to trust him more, we then can let him teach and train us in whatever way he chooses. He will have us ready for whatever comes next. So we can be focused on the future, but not because that's our motivation. It's instead because we have that confidence that the training that God is taking us through now will have us ready, so we can look forward in with to the future, whatever, whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now or after this age is over or even when we die. We know that what He has for us will be satisfying, will be ready for it, and it will be building on where we are now. And in fact, it's interesting, so many Christians, if they really got down to it, if you start challenging them about their ideas of heaven and really ask them if this is really how you want to spend eternity, there's some stretching involved, some sidestepping. You know, it's not really going to be boring. It's not, we're really going to do this. We're going to be busy. Because there seems to be this idea of, well, this is what it's going to be like, but it doesn't really seem like it would be satisfying. So we make excuses rather than, well, maybe we're just wrong about what heaven is and when it is and what's going to happen next. And again, this is why it's so important to take our beliefs to God and say, God, is this something you want me to be believing right now? Is this your truth? Now, there's a lot of things that we can challenge one another with, but the point is, a lot of times we're challenging each other for our own benefit, for our own amusement, for our own one-upsmanship. And we don't want to be distracted by believing, you know, making sure that we believe all the right things. Our focus is on being where God can be doing in us and through us what He wants to be accomplishing. And this is where, again, we are becoming the true stewards, true masters, true sons, accepting both the responsibility and the authority as His sons, not just ambassadors, but His sons. So we've been talking about time and how and what our approach to it is and why it's so important. So, in the age of knowledge, in general, God wanted man to become aware of his need for God. In the age of grace, God wants man to have that need met. So God brought us an awareness of our need. And then He met that need. So do we say, okay, well, that's it. You know, now's the next thing. You know, there's nothing more to come. He's done with us. But I wonder if in the age to come, what if God wants us to learn to live in that weird combination of both dependence and freedom without any constraints from law and all that means? And this is why we're first starting to learn to rule and reign over ourselves here on this earth. For so many, we are drawn to either legalism or license. And what if God's answer to both is both? But it's not from an outside source. From both legalism and license, it's an outside source other than God. What if we can have both in God by depending on Him and recognizing our relationship with Him? So, through freedom, we recognize that there is absolutely nothing we can do to affect God's love for us, His acceptance for us, and that in His valuing our uniqueness and His appreciation. There's nothing we can do that can affect that. So then, do we go and do whatever we want? Well, in a sense, yes. Because we are recognizing that now what we want as a spirit being is to depend on God. So He's giving us the freedom to freely depend. We're not depending on Him so we don't make a mistake, or so we'll be at the right place at the right time, we'll be in the center of His will, we'll deserve His blessings and avoid His condemnation, or so we don't make someone else pay for it, so we don't sin, because He tells us to. We don't depend on Him for any of those reasons. We depend on Him because that's our new nature. That's now who we are. That's who we truly are, is depending Christians, dependents. We're His dependents. And the more we are and live like who God created us to be, the more that brings us freedom. We know that in our society we have these two terms, type A personality and type B personality. Now, a type A personality has to be busy, has to be working, has to be productive and involved in all these different, you know, in whatever's going on. He has to have something going on all the time, and he thrives on that. And then there's the type B personality, who's much more of an observer and doesn't want to be drawn into that, doesn't need to be productive, and is quite satisfied being on the outside and sees all that as activity as just a waste of energy. Now, what we have a tendency to do is pick one or the other. And what God says is, if I've made you a type A personality, you are free to be a type A personality. So your freedom comes from being what God meant you to be. And He's not going to say, well, you need to learn how to rest. You need to learn how to, you know, you're not going to be free until you don't have those desires. Because odds are, because this is the way God made you, you always will. And likewise with the type B personality. God's not saying, well, if you were more productive, I'd love you more. Or if you'd go out and do something, then you'd be showing the world how free you are. Freedom is my gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to me. No, he says, look, this is the way I made you and your personality and your temperament. You're free now to be that. Now, here's how he can say that. Neither one of that, either the type A personality or the type B personality, that's not who you are. That's your personality. That's your soul. That's not your spirit. So, whether you're struggling with your personality or happy with your personality, either way, you are not restricting your spiritual freedom. But the more you are free in your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, the more those wounds are healed, and the more your beliefs line up with the truth in your mind, your will, and your emotions, the more you can embrace and appreciate the way God made you in your soul, and you can be yourself in your soul. And the more that happens, the more that comes, your soul comes into subjection and alignment with your spirit. So the more you become submitted, subjected, immersed back into your spirit, the freer you become. Because that's who you were truly meant to be and created to be. Spirit, soul, and body, not the other way around. As a spirit being, your soul is meant to be immersed in your spirit. So the more it is immersed, the more it's at home. And the more freedom each one of us enjoys. But your freedom is going to look different than anyone else's. My freedom is going to look different than anyone else's. But this is why we value the time. And this is why we look to how we use our time on a personal level. Are you working with God to enter into that freedom? And that's where the rest comes. That rest doesn't have anything to do with inactivity. That type A personality, if you tell them you're going to have to, you know, not be involved in this, that, and the other thing, that's going to be work for them. That's not going to be rest. And likewise, for that person who, type B, who, you know, someone tells them they need to be more productive, or they believe God wants them to be more productive, more busy, more involved, that's going to be work for them. That's not going to be rest. Now, the other side to that is where there's going to be training where we learn to not be subjected to our temperament. In other words, we're going to learn how to rule and reign over our temperament. So that if God tells that type A personality, I need you to sit and not be involved in all this and just be quiet before me, he can do that and still be free, still be at rest, because he's depending on God for direction. He's not doing it from an outside source. He's not defying his temperament, he's disciplining, ruling and reigning over his temperament. And likewise for that type B personality who is happy to observe, and the Lord says, no, I'm going to push you out in front, and you're going to lead. And if they thought, that person said, I'm going to be, you know, to be the opposite of who I am, that will be taking up my cross or doing whatever, coming up with his own ideas about why he should do this, that, or the other thing. That would be an outside force. But when, through that dependence, say that person, God tells him, I'm going to put you out in front and do what I want to through you. Their response is, yes, Lord. They may not feel like it or want to do it, but they're going to go ahead and do it out of dependence, out of learning to rule and reign over their temperament by depending on God. Not because there's anything wrong with their temperament, because there isn't. But they need to do something or not do something regardless or despite their temperament. So really that's what we're gearing towards, is valuing our soul, valuing our temperament that God gave us, but not making decisions to accommodate our temperament. So there'll be times when he asks us to do something exactly the opposite of what we want to do. And our challenge will be to maintain that freedom, that we recognize that we're not doing it to meet some standard. Whether it's, you know, to suffer or to, you know, bear our cross or, you know, whatever. But because we are depending on God. And he has asked us to do that. So we're learning to live in both the dependence and freedom without any constraints from the law by first starting to rule and reign over ourselves, our soul. There are really only two things we can give to God: our time and our attention. And even these, God has to reveal and change and make us able to relinquish them to him. So it is because our time and attention are so valuable to God that they are also the battleground where we fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. So this is one of the reasons the tyranny of the urgent has taken such a toll on believers. We feel that pressure to be producing more now, to prove our spirituality or maturity, to earn, gain, grow, to keep the blessing and gifts God has given to us. But what God wants from our time is our attention. Not how much can we cram into it, or how much we can rest through it, but are we being attentive? Are we available? What do we say? Yes, Lord. We're here, Lord. We're available. Whatever you want to do. So let's just take a minute or a few seconds and ask the Lord to reveal if there is any area in our lives where we are spending too much time or too little time. Okay? We're going to do one and then the other. And first we're just going to take care of any interferences. And we just do that. We take authority over all interferences that might be keeping any listener from receiving and accomplishing what the Lord has set aside for this time. For those interferences that have a legal right to be here, I command you to just stand in the corner now, and you must stand there until Jesus sets you free. And you cannot interfere in any way with what the Lord wants to do during this time. For those that don't have a legal right to be here, you must go now. And you can't come back, and you must go where Jesus sends you. You must take all your chains and scars and ripple effects with you. So now, Lord, I just ask for each one of us. Just reveal, bring to the surface in any way you want, through words, through someone's face or an emotion or however you want to make it clear. Any area that we are putting in, we are spending too much time, more time than you would desire for us to be spending. Just ask, Lord, that you just bring that to the surface. We're just going to give him a few seconds to answer that. Okay, Lord, then we're just going to follow up. Lord, is that you? Now, some of you may have been doing this all along, and hopefully that was just a confirmation, and it was a great exercise. But for others, when the Lord brings something to the surface like that, just for now, just write it down. Don't try to think of it in terms of this is a new mandate for your life. Instead, this is how he starts talking to us. Is he talks to us in about little things. We learn how to hear his voice. It's not something that is genetic or a gift, even though that can be the case. But all of us can learn to hear him equally well. And he wants you to be able to hear him clearly. That's his goal. He's not going to let anything stand in his way. So we've asked for areas where we are spending too much time. Then take that and ask, Lord, okay, Lord, how much time would be a good amount of time? Another way of asking is, Lord, how much should I cut back? Depending on the kind of time it is. Or should you cut it out altogether? Point being that you take it from here and you continue asking. Sometimes it's yes or no questions, but be very specific and follow it through until you have a clarity about what you're supposed to do in that situation. Say if he wants, you're involved in teaching Sunday school, and he says, I want you to cut back, and you say, I can't do that. And his response is, you know, because there's nobody else to take my place. And his response is, this is what I want you to do. Then you realize that your responsibility is first to God. And to depend on him will be following through on what he has said. What this may do is raise other issues. And those you continue to take back to him. You know, oh, God, I can't, you know, they're counting on me. If I don't teach these classes, there's nobody else there. And I know you say that's not my problem, but they're going to want to know. And what do I say? And then he may give you exactly what to say in that situation. Then you follow through with that. The point being is then it may bring up feelings of guilt or if they don't need me, I really don't have a place in this church. And on and on and on. You take each one of those things back to God. Always asking, God, is this you? Lord, is this you? So we're running out of time, but go ahead then and do the same process with, Lord, is there any area I'm spending too little time? go through the same process. Lord, is there anything you want me to be doing that I'm not doing? And Lord, help me find that time in my schedule. A lot of times we don't like these exercises because when we really hear him, we may have to do something we don't really want to do. But I encourage you, these are small things. This is where we start. Don't wait for him to have to knock you over the head to get your attention. One way or another, you're going to have to learn how to rule and reign over your temperament, over your desires, over your plans, over your need to not be healed. We all think everybody wants to be healed of their wounds, but our wounds are comfortable. We've become very familiar with what it feels like to be in our comfort zone, where we, you know, change is hard, even if it's a positive change. But this is a great place to start with ruling, learning to rule and reign over time. Lord, is there any area where I'm spending too much or too little time? Then depend on him that through this process, he will make through you whatever changes may be necessary to make the most of the time that you have. We all have 24 hours in a day, so we all have the same amount of time. Remember, since God created time, he controls it. And he does whatever he wants with it. And remember, he has so much time on his hands that he is spending every second of every minute of every hour of every day doing nothing but thinking and planning, arranging and rejoicing over every single circumstance in your past, your present, and your future. So we can relax and enjoy both freedom and dependence. Next week we'll be talking more about what real practical Christianity is and what it looks like and how it works. For now, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great evening.